Welcome to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is committed to the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the justification of the sinner by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. And now a sermon from Pastor William Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Leprosy was a dread disease. Don't think necessarily of the specific medical condition that we call Hansen's disease today, but in the scriptures it could have been any one of a number of a family of skin diseases. Leprosy isolated people. It cut people off. It forced them to live in isolated colonies away from family and community. It rendered them unclean. And it cut them off from access to the temple. They could not appear in the temple courtyards to offer their sacrifices. They could not eat with their families. They could not gather at their synagogue. They could not gather with their community. The leper was forced to keep his distance from everyone else and to cover his mouth. And when somebody approached, he had to shout out, "Unclean, unclean," as a warning lest anyone come into contact with him. To touch a leper was to incur that same uncleanness in yourself. And you would never, ever think of even approaching a leper, much less touch him, which makes Jesus' actions all the more remarkable. Jesus has, in Mark chapter 1, already demonstrated the absolute power of his word over the demonic realm and over diseases of every sort. He cast out a demon from a man in the synagogue in Capernaum with nothing but a word, "Shut up, get out of him," and he did. And he healed Peter's mother-in-law of a fever with nothing more than a touch. And he healed all sorts of diseases and conditions and ailments. As Jesus' fame spread, he was forced to retreat into the wilderness, away from the crowds that always clamored for more. They always wanted more from Jesus. At one point, just before this morning's reading, Jesus tells his disciples clearly that he didn't come to do miracles. He came to preach the word, that same word that has the power to cast out the demons and to heal the sick. And so along comes a leper. He forgoes the usual protocols, and he doesn't keep his distance, but he comes right up to Jesus, and he doesn't shout, "Unclean, unclean." Instead, he kneels before Jesus, and he pleads with him. "If you are willing," he says, "you can make me clean." He believes at least this much about Jesus, that Jesus is able to cleanse him of the uncleanness of his leprosy. Jesus is able to do what the priests cannot do. Jesus is able to do what the doctors cannot do. Jesus is able to take away his uncleanness, to restore him to his people, to bring him back into community and to fellowship, and to rid him of this terrible label of being unclean. He believes that if Jesus is willing, he is able to cleanse him. And that's what drives him to his knees and to prayer and risk. He could have been rejected, rebuffed, sent away, but he takes this risk in prayer, believing that Jesus can help him if he wills to. But does he? Does Jesus will to heal him? Of that we can't be sure. Jesus seems rather reticent to be engaged in healing. And so we can't be sure until we hear a word directly from Jesus' mouth. And so the man kneeling before him pleading waits and wonders. Now, the evangelist Mark doesn't tell us how long this took. You know, in Mark, everything seems to happen immediately. And so you don't really have a sense of time here. And we don't really know how long of a pause there was between this man's prayer and Jesus' response. Was it a long moment of silence? I like to think there was. because Mark seems to indicate that there was a certain amount of a pause where Jesus is moved to compassion. There's a look that comes over Jesus' face. There is something that goes on in Jesus' guts, because that's where you have compassion, in that Greek word, in your guts. So he felt it in his guts as he's looking on this poor man, isolated from his community, his friends, his family, his congregation. And while the rest of the world covered its mouth in fear and put on gloves and ran away from this man, as we all tend to run away from diseases that we fear are going to catch us, like AIDS and other things, this man looks with compassion on, or Jesus looks with compassion on this man. He could have refused him. He could have chewed him out. You know, in other parts in the Gospels, Jesus gets downright testy when people start clamoring for miracles. Jesus was clear. He'd come to preach, not to work wonders. The miracles were incidental. Jesus did not wish to be known as a wonder worker, as a healer, a miracle worker. That's not his story. He actually shunned that sort of publicity. He didn't want to be followed by hordes of people demanding favors and miracles all the time. And he silenced any attempts to broadcast that news. He did not want that kind of publicity. He did not want people to know that this is the kind of power his words had. But this poor man's humble and desperate plea moves Jesus to compassion. He cannot ignore him. And out of that compassion, Jesus does something that would have made the disciples and all the people looking on, and there were people looking on, nothing ever happened in private in the Middle East at that time, it would have made them gasp with horror. Jesus did the unthinkable thing. He reaches out and he touches the man. No latex gloves, no mask, no gown. He reaches out and he touches the man. In the Old Testament, to touch something unclean was to become unclean. To touch a leper was to put yourself in the same company as the leper. To isolate yourself, to put yourself into solitary confinement. But with Jesus, something opposite happens, something different. The unclean becomes clean. And with simply a word and a touch, be cleansed. The man's leprosy literally evaporates. It disappears. And again, as always in Mark, Jesus sternly charges the man to tell no one. Sternly. Great warning. Do not tell anyone what I just did for you. He does not wish to be known as a healer. He wants to be known as a redeemer, as a savior, as the Christ, as the Son of the living God. Not a quick cure for every ailment, but the source of eternal healing, of redemption from sin, of deliverance from death and the devil. And so he sends the man to the priest, the local priest, who served as the public health inspector. And he commands the man to offer the sacrifice commanded by Moses as a proof of his cleansing. And as is usual in Mark, the man does what everybody seems to do. He disobeys Jesus. And he goes off and he tells everybody what happened, creating such a ruckus that, again, Jesus has to withdraw into the wilderness away from people. And even in the wilderness, people come running out from every quarter to find him. Now, paired with this gospel reading is the Old Testament reading of Naaman the Syrian commander, one of my favorite readings of the Old Testament. Naaman also had leprosy, and his leprosy was cleansed in a most remarkable and unique way. Nobody else in the Bible was cleansed of leprosy like this. Washing 7 times in the Jordan River. Washed by water and the word. Does that make you think of anything? Washed by water and the word? I hope so. Though it's not technically a baptism, it certainly is a picture of baptism, in which by water and the word, we are cleansed from a disease that is far worse than any disease that you can catch in from germs in the air or things like that. Even leprosy, that disease of sin. that disease of sin. I had occasion a couple of weeks ago to visit somebody in the hospital, and they had me gown up. I had to wear a gown and gloves and a mask, and I commented to the nurse, I said, you know, if we took the disease of sin as seriously as we take these little germs, I'd be doing runaway business on Sunday morning here. Dispense with his nonsense. I reached out and touched him. Leprosy, it forms a good picture of sin as a condition, a kind of systemic spiritual sickness. Sin is not a bunch of little local symptoms, but it is something that invades and affects the whole of our humanity, not just our body, but our spirit, our mind, everything infected with the disease of sin. Sin is not just simply a bunch of little bad things that we do. Here is sin, there is sin. Something I can somehow touch up with a few little lifestyle changes added by a couple of good books and maybe some retooling of my habits. No. Sin is a systemic spiritual sickness, a deep corruption of our humanity that goes to our core. And like leprosy, it renders us unclean. Unclean before God, unfit to stand in God's presence. And the ripple of sin, like leprosy, reaches far and wide and deep to those around us. The sins of the Father visited upon the children for 3 and 4 generations. Sin divides us from each other. It sets us against each other. It infects everything that we do, so that even our best works, our most noble works, our highest works, are soiled and unclean and unpresentable before God as they are. But here's the good news from this gospel reading. Jesus touches the unclean and he makes them clean. He reaches out and touches the leper and cleanses him. He reaches out and touches the sinner and he cleanses them. He brings this watery word like the Jordan River for Naaman, a cleansing water that washes away sin, that cleanses us from this leprosy of our humanity, that restores us to community and congregation, that births us into the family of God, so that you stand before God sinless and holy and righteous, not on your own, but covered with the sinlessness and the holiness and the righteousness of Christ your Savior. We in our sin are very much like Naaman. Naaman, the Syrian commander. Naaman, the enemy of God's people. Naaman set at war with God's nation and his kingdom. We are leprous and without hope or resources. And none of our wealth. Oh, I gotta love it. Naaman comes. 10 changes of clothing, however many shekels of gold and silver, and a letter to the king. He gets it all wrong. He gets it all wrong. Money can't buy you this. Money can't buy you this. And nor can power. It's not the king, it's Elisha. And not even Elisha, but his butler comes to the door and tells Naaman, go and wash. And the commander's terribly insulted. Not our wealth, our power, our influence in this world can cleanse us from sin. Only the word of Christ can do that. Only the touch of Jesus. That humble, simple, hidden, powerful word of God that comes to us through ordinary means. Did you notice how offended Naaman was at the means? The Jordan River, he comes from the north, upstream. His rivers are a lot more cleaner than this drainage ditch of a river called the Jordan. Couldn't he have washed up there? That would have been much more sensible. And he doesn't even get to speak to the prophet, but he gets an indirect word from his servant. But when that water is combined with the word of promise, you watch out, things are going to happen. Yeah, the Jordan River is muddy. Yeah, you probably couldn't even clean a load of laundry in it. But when you combine it with the word of God and the promise of God, big things happen. A leper is cleansed. And not only cleansed, renewed. And his skin became that, like that of a young boy. Not even the plastic surgeons can pull that off. That same word comes out of the mouth of the Word incarnate, Jesus. And with his cleansing touch, he drives out the leprosy, just as the water of holy baptism and the word of forgiveness drives out the leprosy of sin and washes you clean. There's also sacrifice. Jesus ordered the man with leprosy to go to the priest and offer the mandated sacrifice for cleansing. Something always has to die. That's kind of a major lesson in the Old Testament. No matter what happens before God, something always has to die. There has to be blood. The sacrifice was a reminder that there is no such thing as a free lunch, nor is there such a thing as a free cleansing. Every healing, every demon cast out, every miracle that Jesus does comes with a price. Jesus is not doing magic here. Jesus is ordering a disordered creation. Jesus is undoing the decay and the destruction that sin has brought into the cosmic order. Jesus is absorbing all the evil, the decay, the degradation, the disease, the death, everything that has gone wrong with our bodies, with the world, with the universe. He is taking all of that into himself the way a dry sponge absorbs a toxic liquid. And he takes those toxins to his death on the cross, and he buries them in his tomb forever. And that, you see, is the source of your healing and your cleansing and your peace from the devils, from the demons, from your conscience that accuses you constantly or attempts to excuse you with self-justifications. That man who came to Jesus with his leprosy left with so much more than what he came for and what he asked for. He came to be healed. He left with a savior. He knew whom to trust the next time that he got sick and when he died. And he knew the power of Jesus' word and the power of Jesus' touch to heal and to cleanse and to save. He knew the compassion of the one whose passion it is to bring our ultimate and final healing to us by his dying and rising. One thing is very different between us and that man in the gospel. There's one thing that is different. Jesus told that man to tell no one. Jesus' time had not come. People were prone to misunderstand. People wanted to make Jesus a king. People wanted to make Jesus a revolutionary. People wanted to take up arms and swords and start a band of revolutionaries and throw out those Romans and retake Israel and put Israel back on the map again and set Jesus on the throne of David where he belongs. And Jesus wanted none of that. His kingdom is not of this world. Jesus did not want to be known as a miracle worker or a healer or some vending machine of miracles that you could pop out upon request. He didn't want that. See, you and I, though, are very different. We live in a different time and a different place from that man who knelt before Jesus. Jesus has died. Jesus has risen. Jesus reigns from the right hand of God. His kingdom has come to this earth. The news can now be told to everybody, to the world. The cleansing and the healing that have been given to you, you can go and tell about to everyone who is affected by the leprosy of sin, and that is everyone. God's will in Jesus is that everyone, without exception, would be cleansed of the leprosy of sin and raised to eternal life in Christ, all without exception. And to that end, God has provided a water of cleansing and holy baptism. He has provided a word of cleansing and holy absolution. He has provided a medicine of immortality in the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And there with his word and his body and his blood and his baptism, he touches you in his deep compassion, his love to have fellowship with sinners, his passion to seek and to save the lost. And he touches you with his word. And by his touch, you are healed.
Thank you for listening to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 15710 Newton Street in Hacienda Heights, California, and on the web at www.htlcms.org. www.lutheranchurch.org.